Welcome to the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Show notes can be found at www.robnunphoto.com. That's www.robnunphoto.com. SEL is proud to be sponsored by Mosey Pro and GoToMeeting. Now, on with the show. Hey everybody, hope we're all enjoying Fabulous 2012. Before I get started with the podcast for real, I just want to remind everybody that we'll have a lot of new assignments this year, but I need help with ideas. So by the time you hear the podcast, I'll have put a new thread up on Flickr. And if you've got any ideas for photo assignments that you fancy doing over the next 12 months, well, stick them in there and we'll see if we can slowly work through them over the next few months. Maybe it'd be something simple. Maybe it was something that will challenge us quite a lot. It could be anything from just putting like a simple colour, like red, to a composition style, like the rule of thirds, or something like a single lens. Anything like that, stick it in the thread, and that will give us some inspiration for the sort of things we can play around with. Now, as you probably heard in the introduction, SEL has now got another sponsor. GoToMeeting have come back in, which is brilliant. What is GoToMeeting? Well, GoToMeeting with HD faces. Anyway, GoToMeeting is a piece of software that you use on your laptop, your desktop, your Android phone, your iPad, your iPhone, that allows you to have conference calls with people all over the world. But what makes them really cool is the fact that they're interactive. So if you're on a conference call, everybody on the conference call can see your laptop, your screen, your desktop, if you like, so you can show them the sales figures, you can show them the plans, you can show them the photos, you can show them the PowerPoint presentation, if you like. But also, with HD faces, it's video conferencing as well. So you can see and tell that everybody's involved and they can be talking, you can be bouncing around ideas without the normal conference call problems of everybody just sitting there reading the newspaper or playing patience on the computers that way. But the best way to figure out if GoToMeeting is right for you, especially with the HD faces, is to try it for free, which you can do. Visit the URL gotomeeting.com and click on the try it free button and enter the promo code podcast. So go to gotomeeting.com, click on the try it free button and enter the promo code podcast. Give them a go. It's great to have GoToMeeting back as a sponsor of SEL. I want to talk about a couple of things today. The first one is a quick little thought experiment that you could do, and the next one is, I don't know, a bit of an expansion of an idea about composition and how we treat our photographs and how you look at how you set them up, set the scene, if you like, through the frame on your viewfinder or perhaps on the LCD screen on the camera. First off though, this time of year, you know, we've had Christmas, we've had New Year, it seems like it's a long way to the spring. If you're in the UK at the moment, the weather's particularly drab, we've got loads of wind, the skies are grey, and we can kind of a little bit disillusioned about what subjects are we going to take, you know, what can we do? But maybe all we really need to do is look in front of our noses. There's a famous photographic saying, I don't know who did it, that said that there's, you know, 20 great photos within 20 paces of where you're sitting now. You've just got to look hard enough. And so one of the things I thought, imagine, right, that for the rest of your life you could only take photographs in the town where you live. And at first you might think, oh my god, that's not very good, is it? God, not being able to go anywhere at all. But if you think about all the different places in the town where you live, all the different events that go on throughout the year, all the different seasons, all the different things that happen in your town, all the different groups in your town, all of a sudden you start to think of different ideas for subjects to shoot, places to shoot. You may have a local park. Think about how different that looks in the autumn and the spring. think about, I mean, parades that happen, runs that happen, sponsored events that happen, all this sort of thing. Maybe there's a lot of places in your town which you've never visited that you could go and take photographs of. One of the really cool things you can do is if you go on Google Earth or Google Maps and look at the satellite view of your town, have a look round and see if there's any unusual things you can see. You know, maybe there's some old buildings, maybe there's some architecture that you didn't know that was there, and then you can go and have a look and take some photographs that way. Visit the places you haven't been to for a while and just start getting inspired by your local environment, because I mean, here in the UK still, it gets dark at about 4:30 in the afternoon, so there's no real opportunity to go out and take light, natural light photographs in the evenings. Time is precious, time is short, but if you can stay local without having to drive miles and miles or ride your bike or get on public transport, travel miles and miles, it gives you more chance to shoot, doesn't it? Maybe on the way home from work, maybe on the way to work. But if you stick local, you're going to have more time to do it. And the great thing as well is if you find interesting local scenes or places, you can also come back to them very easily when the light is different. Because many a time you might come across a building and think, oh, that's really interesting there. But unfortunately, maybe it's a bit overcast, or there's no shadow detail. And you think, God, but if I came back when, you know, the sun was over there, you know, early in the morning or later on in the afternoon, that would make a really nice shadow and that would look really dramatic. Now, if you're on holiday or something, it's tough, isn't it? You've got to take the photograph then and there, unless you're a millionaire and you can revisit whenever you like. But for the rest of us, you've got to go back when the light is right, and that is often places. So there we go. Get thinking about all the different places you can visit that are really close to you to try different scenes, different places, different compositions, different times of day, different types of light, and different seasons. Mosey Pro next. They're our current sponsor for SCL. What we've all got to remember is when you're running a business, a successful business, there's lots and lots of things you've got to get right, lots of pieces of the jigsaw that have come together for the whole picture to stay profitable and stay in business. For example, like hiring good people. But one thing that gets overlooked enormously is protecting the data that powers your business. So, for example, did you know that 12,000 laptops are lost or stolen at airports every single week across the globe? An even scarier fact is that 50% of businesses that find themselves without data management, so they lose all their computers for 10 days or more, file for bankruptcy. So why should you trust Mosey Pro? Well, Mosey Pro is used to back up Windows PCs, Macs, servers for over 70,000 different organizations, from small businesses and large companies like General Electric, Starwood Hotels, Accenture, Subway Restaurants, etc. And Mosey Pro is also the backup solution for lots of non-profit and educational institutions like Stanford University, the Yale School of Management, and many, many more. One example of this would be Jeremy, who is a landscape architect. He used to back up his firm's data by storing everything on an external hard drive and taking it home each night. The problem with that is, what happens if you lose it? What happens if your house gets burgled? What happens if you're in an accident on the way home? There's lots of different things, because the hard drive is with you. You want, what we often talk about, the 3-2-1 schedule of backup, don't we? You should always have three different backups of something, two which are on different types of media and one which is off-site. And that's what Mosey Pro gave to Jeremy. And in his words, it simplified everything, and you know, it was just so easy to set up. So if you're not backing up your business data with Mosey Pro, here's a reason you consider Mosey Pro to back up your business data. During the backup process, all files are safeguarded with military-grade encryption and stored at Mosey's world-class data center, so nobody's going to be able to hack in and get any of your confidential information. If your business is not backed up with Mosey Pro, you really need to make sure your data is backed up. Give our friends at Mosey a call. They've been doing this for a long time and run the most secure, most trusted online backup service. And right now, you can save 15% by using the promo code PODCAST15. So in the States, you can call 877-669-9776. That's 877-669-9776. or you can visit mozypro.com, that's mozypro.com, and you can try it out and save 15% using the promo code podcast. Thanks to Mosey Pro for sponsoring SCL. So, main topic today. Something I've been thinking about for a while, and it is the argument against composition in our photography. Now, what I'm not saying here is not to compose your photographs, but to try and come past the point where the technical process of thinking about how you have your image, how you lay out the different subjects within the image, how you think about the perspective, the colours, the angles, etc., becomes subconscious, and your hands almost, if you like, automatically take over what you're doing. Because at some point, when you're doing any sort of skill, you know, you practice, you review, and then you want to get to a point where you don't have to think about it at all. But sometimes you've got to get rid of those training wheels a little bit early, I think. But let's take a few steps back and think about what composition is and the things that we have to, well, we don't have to, but it's nice to practice first in order to sort of understand the guidelines of composition. And then, so they're so ingrained in our subconscious that we can kind of let go and just shoot randomly almost and see if our subconscious takes over and will then guide what we're doing so that we can capture those moments that we might be missing because we're thinking about it too much. So one of the first guidelines for composition could be your distance to subject. You know, how far away do you want to be? Normally, if you want to make more interesting photos, you get closer, you fill the frame. You know, a portrait is much better if you can get somebody's head filling everything up. But you may well want to try and tell a story with the photograph, say how big a building is. So you might want to have a little person next to a big building. And so you could argue then that the subject is the building, and you fill the frame with the building. But you can think about it before, how far away you should be. But generally, closer is better, because lots of snapshots, lots of, like, you know, the traditional type holiday shots that we just don't get in close enough. The rule of thirds, bandied about and seen as a rule by lots of people, but it is just a guideline, and that's just a simple one. Basically, at its heart, the rule of thirds is don't put your subject in the middle of the photograph, unless you want to have lots of symmetry in your image. So try and have your subject off to one side and then up or down. Don't have the horizon line for a sunset or a sea shot across the middle. Have it up or have it down a bit, and it just makes things a little bit more interesting. Think about leading lines through your photograph. These help to make things more dramatic, because remember, with photography, we're creating, for the moment anyway, before 3D technology kind of takes over, we're creating a two-dimensional flat image of a wonderful three-dimensional world. And if we don't come up with perspective in our photographs, our images are going to look a little bit flat too. And of course, our eyes are used to looking at three-dimensional things, but if we use tricks like leading lines, curves, diagonals, and perspective in our photographs, we can trick our brains into thinking that the photos are more three-dimensional than they actually are, which obviously they're not at all, because they're just on a flat piece of paper on a flat screen. So by having a line running through, we can guide our eye through, and by having curves or diagonals, they're really exciting. And then we have converging lines. Think of the classic photos, which is like a railway line, you know, as the tracks go together into the distance, or a pier, as the sides of the pier go closer, or a building, you're looking up and the sides of the building are converging. That view, that perspective, is a very natural thing, and makes us think, oh yeah, you know, that this is a photograph, this is an image, this is a scene that has proper depth to it. We can play around with our point of view. We can go very high, we can go very low. An important thing that we don't talk about often enough, or understand a lot of the time, is how the focal length of the lens that we choose affects our composition as well, both in terms of subject to camera distance, and also how different focal lengths alter the compression or expansion of the scene. So what do I mean by that? Well, if you're using a very short lens, a very wide angle lens, as you know, you get the whole scene in, don't you? But also what happens is things appear to be a lot further apart than they are. Imagine, if you like, you're standing on a road and there's a load of lampposts that are equally distance apart, stretching off into the distance. If you were to use a wide-angle lens, you know, your zoom at its widest setting, what would happen is the lamppost that you were closer to would appear very big, but then all the others would get small really quickly, so you would have this great perspective of these lampposts going away. If you were to step back sort of 100 feet and then zoom in to that same lamppost and take a photograph, the next lamppost behind it would appear to be a lot closer, and the next one would appear to be a lot closer as well. The lens isn't really doing anything, it's your subject camera distance that has changed, that creates this distance in perspective, that creates that different effect. Now, for landscape photographs, playing around with this can lead to very different and very dramatic shots. So you can have a shot at the beach at sunset, you have like a lovely rock in the front foreground that's covered in nice and wet, covered in fungus, etc., and then you have the sunset stretching away in the distance. But also, if you use a zoom lens, what you can do is you can make things appear much, much closer. So if you step back, the sun, for example, that's going down will appear a lot bigger in the image. Sometimes it's good to take like an extract out of a landscape rather than trying to fill everything into the photograph. Just pull out a little bit of it that way. So just think about how your focal length changes that. When you're looking at portraiture with people, often a longer focal length where you're standing further back can be a little bit more flattering, because if you use a wide angle lens and you get very close to people, noses start getting big, ears sort of recede, people's faces start looking, if you're getting very close, looking like those funny holes of mirrors that you get at circuses. Where if you stand back and use a longer focal length, everything seems a lot more natural and can be a little bit prettier. Whether we have a straight photograph or an angle photograph, you know, that sort of thing. You know, do you have straight horizons or do you have wonky ones? I'm quite a believer of you either have it as straight as possible as you can, or you have it very wonky. One of the two. Don't get it just off, because if it's just off, it kind of, you tend to look at a photo and think that's just not quite straight. But if it's a long way off, the viewer looks at it and thinks, oh, it's meant to be that way. But again, it depends what your subject is. If you've got somebody, for example, running along a beach and they're the main subject, it doesn't really matter if the background's not straight, because it's really the interaction of the person in the frame rather than the background. But that's something we could think about. The actual use of changing angles, you can also think about something called the Dutch angle. And the Dutch angle is often used, I don't know whether you can remember, but remember the old Batman TV series? Whenever any of the baddies were coming into a scene, the camera would go, it would kind of go at an angle, but also lean back. So if you imagine the camera's leaning back and a little bit lower and looking up, and that's often referred to as the Dutch angle. If you've ever seen the John Travolta film, I think it's Battlefield Earth, real rubbish film, but that used the Dutch angle almost all the time, because it gives the viewer a sense of unease, because the subject looks a lot taller because you're lower and looking back, and they seem to be like looming up. So that's another way that you can change the composition of the photograph. Sharpness, you know, whether your photograph is blurred, whether it's soft, whether you're using a small depth of field just to highlight, for example, somebody's eyes and the rest of the photograph is blurred, or the fact that you've gone for an overall soft look. Because in these days where we have ultra-sharp lenses and a myriad of tools to make our photographs sharper in post-processing, sometimes we forget that a soft photograph can look very interesting indeed. So we have all these guidelines, we have all these rules that we follow that we can study. You know, how do you take a better photograph? You follow these guidelines and hopefully the idea is you come up with more interesting photographs. And in practice, what tends to happen is you've got your camera in your hand and either you sort of see something interesting in front of you. If it's a building or something that doesn't move, then it doesn't really matter, because you look through the viewfinder, you look at the back LCD on the back of the screen, you think, okay, right, where's the horizon? Okay, it's in the middle. Let's move that up a little bit so it's not in the middle. Okay, but where's my main subject? Right, it's that tree. Right, move the camera over a bit so they're in the corner. Let's select the right aperture to get a decent depth of field, etc. And this all takes time and slows us down, which means that when we're taking pictures of other things, like people running around, where you want to capture that moment just there, you know, typical idea of street photography, when you're taking pictures of the family, if you spend all this time composing, you're going to miss the moment. You're going to miss the reason why you wanted to take the photograph in the first place. So what we've got to do, I think, is you've got to practice and review and study photographs to start off with, you know, and look for these guidelines. So you're making that these rules sink into your subconscious. But then at some point, you've got to stop trying to enforce them. You've just got to pick up your camera. You see something you want to take a photograph, pick up your camera, click. You know, wind on, or if it's a digital, you know, you probably, you know, take 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 shots. You know, one portrait, one landscape, and then, you know, move on. But you've got to do it fast. And the only way you can do it fast is if you don't think about composition. You just let your subconscious take over, control your fingers, control your eye, and subconscious chooses how the photograph should look. So there we go. Don't wait. Don't scan. Just look, focus, and press the shutter button. Trust your subconscious to guide your hands and capture the right moment. Why don't you give it a go? You know, what have you got to lose? Well, there we go. That's it for this week's podcast. Thanks to Everyday Jones for the music that I put at the beginning and the end of the podcast. And most of all, though, thanks to you for downloading and listening. And hopefully, pretty soon, I'll see you on Twitter.